Our text this morning comes from Matthew chapter 14. It's verses 13 through 21. You're welcome to follow along as I read aloud. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it's great to be here with you all this morning. Lately, I feel as if I'm absent as much as I'm present. And if you're visiting with us or you have been out yourself for the summer, I can kind of give you some background to that statement. In the past 3 months, I have missed at least, well, missed one Sunday each of those months. And I'll be missing another one in 2 weeks. But it hasn't all been about vacation. You know, just because I'm here doesn't mean I'm not working. You know, for example, last weekend, as many of you know, I went to the beach with the teens, and I love our teens, and we had a really good time, but I would not describe it as relaxing. You know, several times over the course of the weekend, I was reminded why I decided not to go into youth ministry, and I was just very glad that I have someone else that can shoulder that responsibility. But I know that I have been away a lot. And I really appreciate the fact that none of you have given me a hard time about it. You know, if only that were true, right? And I don't mind the jokes. Like, I think it's kind of funny when you all will come up to me in the foyer and introduce yourself like we've never met. You know, like, "Who are you? You know, have you met our pastor?" And that's okay. I get that. But somebody went overboard a few weeks ago. I was here at the church in my office, and I had to use the restroom, so I walked into the foyer, and there was a Guilford County Sheriff's deputy parked in the parking lot. The officer was out of his vehicle, and he was walking around my car very slowly, kind of investigating. And he got around to the back, and he wrote down my license plate number. And I was kind of concerned about this, and so I opened the door, and I said hello, and he walked over, introduced himself to me, and he said, "Is this your vehicle?" I said, "Well, yeah. I mean, there's only one there, and I'm the only one here." I said, "Yeah, that's my vehicle." And he said, "Well, I'm checking because, you know, there have been some burglaries in the area, including some churches, and I just wanted to be on the safe side." He said, "Because I drive by here every day, and I've never seen this car." And I'm not sure who put him up to that. I mean, he had a straight face, but, I mean, it's the same car I drive to work every day for the last 2 years. And he had never seen it before. But, you know, most full-time jobs, I think, have kind of a package where you have vacation days and sick days and personal days. And I know in some jobs you can kind of bank those days. Like, you can come to the end of the year, and if you haven't used them, you can get paid for them. Or there's other jobs where you can kind of save them up and then even retire early. But in my job, I don't have that option. I have to, it's like, use them or lose them. And according to mental health professionals who are familiar with the type of work that I do, it's really necessary for me to take them. You know, because, you know, my job is like a job where I serve people, and there's other jobs like that, but they say that it's really important, and especially if you have this kind of job, to rest, you know, to experience renewal so that you can continue to serve well. You know, and so if you look at it that way, taking vacation is something I do for you. You know, And I'm willing to make that sacrifice because I want to be the best that I can be. But the truth is, you know, as followers of Jesus, we are all called to lives of service. You know, we're all called to give of ourselves for others, to give of our time and our resources and our talents and our energy, both physically and emotionally. And we don't all serve in the same ways at all, but we are all called to serve. You know, and serving can be pretty exhausting. You know, serving can sap our strength. It can drain our very last drop of energy. It can just flat wear us out. And if you've ever served in any way, and looking around the room, you know, I know what you all do and see you all come in during the week, and I know that all of you serve in some way. A lot of you serve in many ways. And so I think that you know what it is to come to that place where you feel like you just have nothing left to give. You know, and that taking a break seems like your only option. And if you've ever experienced this, then you have a sense of what the disciples were feeling. You know, when Jesus said to them, I want you to feed this crowd of well over 5,000 people. In Matthew's gospel, this event that we read about follows immediately after they heard the report of the death of John the Baptist. John the Baptist had been imprisoned by Herod. He had spoken out publicly and condemned Herod for marrying his brother's wife, Herodias. And I'm sure there's a reason why their names are so familiar, but it just sounds kind of weird to me. Like if I married someone named Jeffina, which is disturbing to say the least. But anyway, he married her, and that was an adulterous relationship. And so John spoke out and condemned that, and Herod had him imprisoned. But Herod's wife, Herodias, wanted to silence him permanently. And so through a series of events, she was able to persuade Herod to finally behead him. And his disciples came and buried the body. And it was after hearing this news that Jesus, just being so overwhelmed, needed to get away. You know, he had been with the crowds for some time now, and so he got into a boat and he set out to a place of solitude, you know, hoping to relax and to renew his spirit, hoping to be alone with his thoughts, you know, hoping to have time to pray. But the crowds were not ready for him to leave. And so they anticipated where they thought he might be heading, and they walked around the shore of the sea there, and we get the sense that they both arrived at about the same time. And Jesus' compassion for the crowd and his commitment to obey his heavenly Father compelled him to put his own needs aside again and instead minister to their needs. And as evening fell, his disciples urged him to send the crowds away into the villages to find food. But Jesus insisted that wasn't necessary. He said, no, you all can take care of them. Now, we can kind of read between the lines here. You know, on the surface, the disciples' argument was, well, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere and it's really late, both of which were true. But I don't think it's too much to say it was also a reflection of how they were feeling. They had nothing left. You know, both literally and metaphorically speaking. You know, they had no food to give. Their resources were depleted. They had a little, but not enough to feed this crowd. They were tired. They were weary. They just needed a break. And Jesus said, no, you can handle it. And then they got honest with Jesus. You know, all we have are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We just can't do it this time. And he said, bring them to me. And we know what happened next. You know, Jesus told the crowds to sit down and somehow multiplied the loaves and the fish. The disciples distributed them to the crowd, which we know consisted of at least 5,000 people. You know, if some have speculated, when you add in the women and children, it could have been upwards of 20,000 people. And the disciples, the crowd ate until they were satisfied, until they were full. You know, it wasn't like a trip to Golden Corral where you have to be rolled out of the door after you're done, but they ate and were satisfied. And then the disciples gathered up all the leftovers that remained and filled 12 baskets full of bread and fish. It was nothing short of a miracle. To call it a miracle even seems like an understatement. And it was such a memorable experience for the disciples that This would become one of the few miracle stories that is told in all four of the Gospels. It had such an impact on them. And the experience taught them two very powerful lessons. The first thing it taught them is that they served a God with unlimited resources. You know, in the words of the Nicene Creed, their God created all that was seen and unseen. You know, it all belongs to Him. You know, the words of the 50th Psalm come to mind where God says, "For every wild animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds in the air, and all that moves in the field is mine." He owns it all. And with all of this at His disposal and the ability to create more if He desires to, God could enable them to do whatever it was He was asking them to do, even when they had reached the end of themselves. You know, all they had to do was take what little they had, place it in God's hands, and He would bless it and multiply it to accomplish His purposes. The second lesson it taught them was that the God that they served always provided enough. You know, always provided more than enough of what was needed. Not only was there enough food for the disciples and all those who had gathered there, there were still leftovers. You know, many more could have shown up after the food was distributed, and they still would have had enough. I mean, we get the sense that the number didn't matter. Whatever the number was, God could meet the need. There's always room for one more at God's table. It would do well for us this morning to take these lessons to heart. You know, as I mentioned a few moments ago, God has called all of us to lives of service. You know, sometimes we're called to serve in big ways. You know, more often we're called to serve in small ways. What is it that God has called you to do? What is He calling you to do? Are you open to the ways that the Holy Spirit can speak to you? You know, God can call us to service through so many different avenues, you know, through His Word, through our fellow believers, through the desires He has given us, that still small voice in our heart that says, do this or do that. Are you listening to what He's saying? You know, what acts of service has God laid upon your heart to do? You might be thinking, there just isn't time in your life. You know, there isn't energy that you could add anything more to what you're already doing. And I know, and I said earlier, that so many of you serve in so many different ways. But it's possible that you may need to stop doing some of the things you're doing, even good things, so that you can make room for the other things. You know, in a small church, it's so common for people to serve because they see a need, not because they sense a call. And this distinction is an important one because it's only when we're doing something God has called us to do that we know He'll give us whatever we need to accomplish it. You know, doing things that we're not called to do is fine for a time. And heaven knows that there are so many things around here that people will see a need and they'll just say, you know, it's got to be done, and they'll take it upon themselves to do it. And that's good, but if you do too much of that, you can end up feeling tired and frustrated and burned out. But doing things that we are called to do can have almost the opposite effect. We may still feel physically tired at the end of the day, but our spirits have been energized. You know, our hearts are full of joy. We have a sense of fulfillment. And we can expect God to call us to do things well beyond the realm of our abilities and our resources, knowing that He will supply what we need. You know, all He asks of us is that we give Him the little that we have and place it in His hands, and He will multiply it to accomplish His purposes. He will do the rest. You know, and this is true in all of our attempts to be the people that God created us to be. You know, whatever we need from Him, be it more grace or more faith or more wisdom or more strength, He will give it to us. All we have to do is ask. You know, His Word says that we have not because we ask not. It says that whatever we ask for in faith, according to His will, He will do. And our God is a God of unlimited resources. You know, the opening hymn that we sang, at my request, if you want to be upset at someone, be upset at me, was chosen very deliberately for those words. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. The lesson also has some bearing on all of us collectively. You know, what is it that God is calling our church to do? You know, as I understand it, the dinner that we hosted last night was a first for our church, at least on that scale. And I heard some people say that we had some anxious moments, you know, can we pull this off? And yet, from nearly any perspective, in hindsight, it was a huge success. You know, so many people gave of their time to make it happen, but we must give God the glory. We gave what we had. He multiplied it. He blessed it. You know, God was working behind the scenes to make that happen because I believe it was something God called our church to do. For some time now, it's been a dream of many in our church to build a new fellowship hall. You know, as I understand, it's a dream that has lasted for decades. You know, someone asked me the other day, how close is the church to getting that thing done? And I said, well, we're closer today than we were yesterday. And I believe that. I think we're closer now than we've ever been. But as we've met together and as we've done the research and as we've talked to potential builders, we're finding that the kind of building we believe we need costs more money than we want to spend. But if God is calling us to do this, if we really believe this is something that He wants us to do so that we can minister to our community more effectively, this story should encourage us to step out in faith, you know, to not look at it strictly in terms of dollar signs, but to approach it as if we believe we serve a God who can do whatever it is He calls us to do. That second lesson challenges us to consider, what are we doing with the leftovers of God's grace in our life? You know, God continues to pour His grace upon us. You know, He has blessed us in so many ways. Our cups are overflowing. We have grace coming out of our ears. You know, ready to be shared, ready to be given away. We are full, but others are hungry. Are we giving our leftovers to them? You know, this week I was just amazed at the ways in which so many of our congregation gave some of their leftovers to help a family in need. You know, a family that was hurting, a family that was mourning. And there are many things that churches can be known for. You know, we are certainly known for our barbecue and our chicken pie. If you tell people, I'm sure you've had this experience, where do you go to church? Well, I go to Brick Church. Oh, that's the church with the chicken pie. And that's okay, because it's good. I mean, if it wasn't, it might be embarrassing. But it's good, so we can be proud of that. But what if the first thing that came to people's minds when they heard the name Brick Church were words like generous and compassionate and loving? That would give God glory. And that's why we exist, to give God glory, to build His kingdom here on earth. You know, there's a popular song, well, I say popular, maybe you've heard it, it's called More Than Enough. In just a moment, we're going to listen to it, and the words will be on the screen. And for me, it's a reminder of how much grace we've received, the answer being more than enough. And so I hope as we listen to that song, it just encourages you to think and to pray about ways you can share the leftovers you've received with people who need them. And to pray and ask God to show you where He's calling you to do those things. So if we could listen together.